It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday and every Saturday. I hope. I'm kind of amped up this morning. I've got two of my favorite guests in the studio. Mark is down to the lake. He went down and took his, would do something there, and he couldn't get back out of there. It snowed and ice. Can't get out of the hills down there in the Ozarks. So we're going to try to get a hold of him on the spoon. Don't know if we can get Mark. Are you around, or is it too early yet? Oh, we're still trying to get a hold of him. It don't seem like it's working too awful well. They probably got lines down through there with the ice and snow, I imagine.
So his dog team couldn't pull the sled?
No, his dog team couldn't make it until.
Oh, okay.
Boyd Metz is here in the studio, and we're going to talk about HSM ammunition, one of my favorite humans to talk about this. And I guess, you know, we gain a lot of listeners every Saturday, allegedly. I think we've got over six now. And I guess maybe we'll stop. I take for granted everybody knows who HSM is. And maybe we better go back to the back in the history of HSM ammunition.
That's kind of good. We've been around a long time, yeah. But there's still people out there in the fringe areas that don't know that much about us. And as the day goes on, or the morning or the hour goes on, I'd be more than glad to enlighten the fact that the company's been in business for 53, 54 years.
Gee whiz.
So, and simple motto. In the shooting industry, the hunting industry, accuracy is one of the most important things.
Sure, so, it's the only thing.
So we kind of dwell on that. And
kind of. You do dwell on it.
Well, okay, I do dwell on it. But that's been real important. Little company's based up in Montana, Stevensville, Montana. And we're well-placed in the industry with the distribution channel and the likes of Midway, Bass Pro, Cabela's, and the dealers who buy from distribution. Products are pretty available, better than they were during the crisis period, COVID period and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the company has strived to maintain quality, which in turn gives you accuracy. And I know you ask every once in a while, well, how do you do this? Well, you pick your partners.
Yeah.
The components
are
key.
Bobby Hayden.
Bobby Hayden, Starline. Yeah. We had him on here.
Yeah.
Bobby has Retrieving Freedom, which is just, if anyone's listening or interested, just go take a look at it. Retrieving Freedom is put on by, is operated and supported by the people at Starline, the makers of brass. And it's they train dogs for veterans and autistic children.
Cool.
Great organization.
Great organization.
In Sedalia, Missouri. So it's...
When we had Bobby on a month or so ago, maybe longer, I was on my phone from the time I left the studio till I got back to St. Joseph, Missouri, and basically had to unplug my phone. I always try to go take a little about a half-hour nap when I get home, sometimes an hour. And I just couldn't believe the response.
Yeah.
I don't know if it did him any good, but at least we needed an awareness of this situation, you know, and that's what it's all about. Speaking of awareness, is Mark Tobin around?
I am. Good morning.
How are you, kid?
Fantastically.
Where are you?
Well, I'm down at Lake of the Ozarks. We came down during the week. We've been working on replacing some flooring down at our cabin, and we had an unexpected freezing rain and sleet storm yesterday morning. And we started to try to get out of here, but we didn't get very far, and there was a couple of cars off the road, and so we turned around, came back, and then we heard that there was a whole bunch of cars down this way that were off the road. So we decided just to stay here last night. And unfortunately, the lake's down a little bit, and the ramp to my dock is kind of steep. And with the freezing rain and sleet on it, I couldn't even get down to the dock to fish.
What?
I know. Well, the problem is I've got some fish in a bucket down there I was going to clean for breakfast yesterday, and they're still down there in the bucket.
Fish for breakfast.
Oh, yeah, that's the best breakfast food there is.
Protein.
Boyd, have you ever had fish for breakfast?
I can say that no. I don't believe it.
Nobody but Tobin would have fish for breakfast.
Oh, my gosh. We do it every weekend when I'm down at the lake and have my whole life.
Something's wrong with you, Tobin. I'll have to put you on the couch again and analyze you when you get back around.
A sad note, though. Our good buddy Brian Andreka from the Kansas Angling Experience lost his father yesterday.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and he was very close to his dad. He said that his dad was his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So our condolences go out to Brian Andreka and his family for sure.
Yeah, well, he's a good human. He's one of the best people I've met for a long, long time, other than Boyd Metz, maybe.
Well, Boyd's hard to beat.
Thanks, Mark. You know, I said to Fred just a moment ago, I thought you had a team of dogs, and maybe you'd get out with your dog sled.
No such luck.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard, I mean, is anybody fishing? It says 12 degrees this morning.
Well, it had been, and it had been real good during the week. Richard Bowling over here on Truman, he's just hammering the crappie. And I have heard that there are some white bass and a few walleye being caught below the dam right now.
I would think so. It's that time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So good time to be out there. Toby Lewandowski, Absolute Fishing Guides, he's on crappie, and he found some white bass a couple of last week.
Huh.
Found a bunch of white bass. He's catching them on a Castmaster spoon. But it was a chartreuse and silver. And they threw everything that he had in the boat and couldn't get a bite on anything except that one. I'm sorry, it was a little Clio, a little Clio, chartreuse and silver. But that was one of those small ones, the quarter ounce. And he tried just about everything else in the boat, but that's the only thing that he could catch them on was that little Clio. So he saw him on the live scope, and he was watching them. They'd look at these other baits, but they wouldn't hit it. But for whatever reason, throwing that little Clio, they got mad at that.
Huh. So, go back to your old bread and butter. You know, that's kind of one of them old lures that's been around forever.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, right. Let's see, today's Saturday. Thursday, I got down here, and, you know, in between putting flooring down, we'd have to take a break and go down and fish the dock a little bit, and we did. I've got 10 in the bucket down there. Had another maybe 10 little ones, and you know, I'm only catching them in 2 to 3 foot of water. So it's just amazing how shallow some of these fish are this early in the season. And talking to Richard Bowling once again over there on Truman, he's catching fish. I mean, he's seeing fish on his live scope that they're right at the surface. I mean, they are. He said he's surprised that you can't see their fins sticking out of the water. But catching some fish, he's catching them as shallow as a foot and as deep as 10 foot of water. And he's catching them in creeks from the mouth of the creek on up into the creek about two-thirds of the way. Now, with this cold weather, I don't know, it might back them back out.
Yeah, I think so.
A little bit. But nonetheless, the fishing is really good.
Yeah. I got some news for you, Mark. We're going to get some pickled fish.
All right.
Kelly Kurtz brought some back from North Dakota or South Dakota A. You got to say, you got an A when you put six Dakotas. But we're going to have pickled fish maybe next. I'll see if I can't bring it in the studio next Saturday.
Awesome. I've
never had it. I want to try it.
Yeah, I haven't either.
He said I'll either love it or hate it.
I think I'll love it.
You can eat a hubcap, Tobin.
Yeah, well, I'll
and
eat
he eats fish for breakfast.
Yeah,
he
eats fish for breakfast, and he's blue cat too. So other than that, he's not potty trained well. So what the hey, you know? Oh well, what the hey? Well, I tell you what, Mark, it's been a weird pattern. Strange, warm, unbelievably cold.
Yeah.
The guys up there on the snow goose season this year are just having the best days of their life. The boys went out the other morning, killed 31 in no time. And a lot of juveniles in the flock, and there's 1,200,000 snow geese sitting on Squaw Creek. I imagine a lot of them went back south off this cold snap, but, boy, it's lining up like it's really going to be good. I think they're talking 67 degrees on Wednesday.
Is that right? Wow.
I'm from Missouri. Got to show me.
Well, yeah. We've got almost 3 inches of snow down here.
Wow.
On top of that sleet.
Yeah, you're not living right. That's all it amounts to under that thing. Hey, we got the Kansas Open coming up here, March the 8th, 9th, and 10th. Isn't that right?
Yep, the Open Season. Season Sportsman's Expo. Yeah, March 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Overland Park Convention Center. You can go online right now and get tickets ahead of time and save a little bit of money. Adult tickets are $10. Kids 12 and under are free. If you get tickets the day of the event, now this is only 3 weeks away, so if you buy tickets at the door, an adult ticket is $15, and kids under 12 are still free. But, yeah, I understand you're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Joe Falco on at the bottom of the hour, and he has the time. Did he tell you what time you're going to be speaking?
No, I don't. Everybody leaves me out of the loop. Or just tell me to be there. That's all.
He was going to mention that this morning on the radio. He got he got the time that you're going to be on.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if we can't get him up. Is he going to call in?
We're going to call him.
We're going to call him. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Well, we'll have him on at the half hour on a darn thing. But we're going to talk with these guys about some HSM ammunition. Wonderful, wonderful. I can't say enough good thing product. But we also are brought to you by Sure-Ag. If you guys who farm, we have a lot of farmers listening to this radio station, and you want professionalism on your cornfield. You've got to be making some decisions here. You're going to be planting corn before long. Yeah, that's what I said. You're going. It's not that far away. Don't act so shocked. But anyway, if you want professional with weed control and fertilizer, there's only one company I recommend. I've been using them for 16 years now. It's called Sure-Ag. They're based out of Savannah, Missouri, Osmond, Missouri, Forest City, Missouri, and now at Plattsburgh, Missouri. These guys are the pros of the pros, and they can come in and identify weeds and tell you what you need. You probably need to talk to them right now, R-A-T-T, right now, to make sure that they lined up with you and went and they're going to be there and that kind of thing. So for a farmer, that's a very costly adventure getting ready for the planting season. So you better make every nickel count. Again, they're located at Savannah, Osborne, Forest City, and Plattsburgh, Missouri. It's called Sure Ag. These are the guys I 110% recommend. Mark, we got to take a little bit of break.
I'll wait here.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with you.
Got deathly quiet.
And his face lost all expression. Said, if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors in the studio with me, Boyd Nance. We're going to talk about HSM ammunition and down at the lake, snowed in, frozen in, iced in, my co-host, AWOL, Mark Tobin. Mark, get some studded tires and a four-wheel drive pickup and you'll drive right out of there.
Well, I'm going to do that today.
Go up to Reed, buy your brand-new Silverado today.
That's what I need.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. Well, you know, and we don't talk, you know, we talk about what a great experience it is to buy vehicles.
Yeah.
Because the salesmen, they're not commissioned, and they don't put any pressure on you. They just help you pick out the car that you want. But we don't talk enough about their service department either. And I've been screwed over by some other dealers. And so I had just got it in my mind that dealers were just too expensive. And so I had smaller mechanics always work on my vehicles. But my son has a Silverado 2017, and the air conditioning on it, these smaller people, smaller places didn't have equipment that they could work on it, so we took it on up to Reed to have it serviced. I'm telling you what, that service department is second to none. They are absolutely the most professional people, but they're so nice, but they're not expensive like I thought it was going to be. In fact, they were less than the smaller mechanics that I had gone to. So,
yeah, they're good people.
Don't be afraid to take a vehicle to have a service to Reed.
Yeah. Well, there's nobody like it. They got an inventory, too. And so if I-29 in Frederick and St. Joe, Missouri, 30 minutes north of KCI, or anybody wants a new pick, who doesn't want wouldn't I like to buy a brand new one today? I just got a new one, but I'd like to have another one. What the hey? So anyway, Boyd, I have to tell you my HSM story. I've been wanting to see you guys and tell you this story. The first thing is confession. I'm not a very good shot with a rifle. And I want to talk to you about shooting 1,000 yards.
Okay.
But that's a bizarre statement, isn't it? Shooting 1,000 yards. But anyway, so I'm up in the river bottom, and I come up over the levee, and I jump a coyote. And this coyote knows I'm there, and he's decided to exit stage right, you know. And he's 400 yards. And I, you know, sometimes when you pull the trigger, you think it's right. You know, you just something happens in your brain, and you go, this is where it's got to be. And so I got out in front of his nose a little bit and raised it up, and shooting the light at the low recoil. So I know, you know, I've trained myself on a low recoil. I love shooting that low recoil, especially get old. And I croaked one at him, and I saw the dust fly up behind him. And I thought, boy, I don't think I shot high. But so, you know, I croak another and at him, and I croak another and at him. Boy, he starts slowing down. And he ran about 400 or 500 yards and just leaned over. I hit him twice, and I couldn't hit a Buick that far away. That stuff, you know, I tell you what it did to me. I tell you what HSM's done for me. As you get older, your eyes aren't as good. Your reactions aren't as good. I don't care who you are. I'm only 72, but I'm just hitting my stride. But gee whiz, you know, I just don't shoot like I used to. Not a deal. But that HSM low recoil has put confidence back in me. You guys understand? I mean, if you, I know I'm going to hit where I'm looking. I just love shooting that load. And the accuracy. I shot it, you know, I missed a coyote right after that, come think about it. But I thought, well, maybe my guns, maybe I was just lucky. But I shot dot into dot into dot into dot with a, I call it a factory. It's not a factory ammunition as far as I'm concerned.
We pride ourselves, once again, here's my magic word, on accuracy. And we test the lots as we're building it and make sure that we're doing it consistently and the bullets are consistent, the brass is consistent, the primers are consistent, and the powder charges are consistent. And it's all done electronically with a little laser beams and everything, checking to make sure the right amount of powder is in the case, make sure the case dimensions are correct and everything. And fortunately, our component partners that we use to build this ammunition are great at the quality of their products.
I talk to a lot of humans about shooting. I'm going to talk to you about shooting 1,000 yards, which is impossible for me. But I got talking to a guy the other day that probably knew 10 times more than I heard, which doesn't say much. But he thought he got talking about brass. And I was telling him about Bobby Hayden. And he said, brass is not brass. Brass has to be quality brass. The thickness has to be maintained all the way through. And he said, that'll give you such a variable that you can't believe it. Then he went into the primer dissertation on the thing, and then, of course, into the powder on the thing. I sat there and just oohed and aahed to listen to that guy. And I'd heard it a million times, but it, for some reason it clicked.
Yeah.
And brass is not just brass.
No. I mean, you can go to the extremes. There's a deal where you can weigh the case, the brass. You can fill it with water, and then you weigh it again. And some people do this with all of their rounds, the 1,000-yard-plus shooters. And the reason that they do this, they're checking the thickness of the brass.
Exactly.
To see what powder capacity it has and what variation there is. Does it make a difference? Maybe fractionally. But if you combine all of these things, then, yeah, it does make a difference.
Darn right.
So yeah,
Jim Carmichael said it best. Only accurate guns are interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And that's true.
Yeah.
There's no use having a gun that's not accurate. Or, you know, and I've got, I don't know how many, 243s, but some of them like certain brands and some of them don't like the other brand. Now, why is that? Have you ever figured that out?
Well, I think it's the barrel of the rifle. That's the thing probably most important is some of the dimensions vary on the cases from different manufacturers. There is SAMI, which is the Small Arms Manufacturing Regulation people, and they give the exact dimensions, but it's not all built that way. And you know, any piece of machinery, whether it's an automobile or a loading press, we're not super high speed in building this stuff. And the super high speed guys, the equipment wears. So all of a sudden you get variations in manufacturing.
Exactly.
And this is why some guns change. That's the importance of consistency, lot to lot to lot. And a lot basically is when you change one of the components. Using if you change a batch of brass, if you change your batch of powder, that usually ends the lot number. And it's a self-serving thing in the sense that lot numbers allow you, if God forbid there's a problem,
yes,
exactly, it allows you to trace it back and say, hey, we built it on this day, check the logs on the machinery, blah, blah, this, and know what went wrong so that it doesn't happen again.
I bet you, I don't know the guys out there at HSM. I'd love to go out there and see their facility and think I will this summer. But I bet you if it's not perfect, it doesn't go out the door.
Pretty much. I mean, there's an electronic inspection, as I said, but there's a visual inspection.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine the thrill, Fred, of sitting and watching a couple hundred thousand cases go by on a conveyor belt and being able not to have the attention span to be able to sit there and, boom, pick this one up because it's got a ding in the case or something.
Yeah.
And you say, well, a ding in the case, what's it do? Changes the case capacity.
Darn right it does.
So, I mean, it's an art. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
It's an art. And it's an art like reloading. I mean, the guy that wants to go in the basement and sit and reload.
You know, I was up at when Bob Lockett had the Second Amendment up here. But anyway, I was in there one day, and a guy was going on safari. And he came in to get some safari-grade ammunition, what I called it. And he was bitching about the price. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. You got $3,000 in an airplane ticket. You just put $6,000 in an elephant hunt. You're out $9,000. You ain't even left Kansas City. You bought a rifle that you probably paid $2,000 for, probably by the Weatherby. This is a doctor guy. Nice guy. And now you're bitching about the price of the ammunition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the most important factor in your hunt.
Yeah.
And don't you want nothing but the best on the deal? And that's why if I'm shooting at a deer with my 243, I want it to hit where it's supposed to hit. It's pretty simple.
I can say this. A lot of people still reload, love them. But in the same light, we feel that we can compete with handlers with our factory ammunition.
I've tested it.
I mean, it's a matter. If it's a hobby, that's great. It's a wonderful hobby. Did it for years.
Sure.
But still in all, kind of nice to walk into the store and pull a box off the shelf and know that it's going to do what it's supposed to do.
I don't think we can do it justice. We talk about it here on the radio, and I know I'm harping maybe too much, but preaching to the choir a little bit. But there's nothing like it.
No.
And I've shot it and compared it, and I went to the mat with this thing, guys.
And if your dealer or doesn't have it, tell them you want it, because our distribution channel is very good. It supplies the dealers. And as I said earlier, the brick-and-mortar people have the product.
Yeah.
And do they have everything, every caliber? No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a matter of how much we can build.
Well, there's nothing. Like, I want to briefly, we'll talk a little bit here before the show's over about this tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be analyzed a little bit, and people need to know more about this.
Tipping point two is our second generation, and we're using a bullet that's been around forever. It's an SST bullet manufactured by Hornady. Has a great performance record for accuracy and expansion and weight retention, which are important when you're shooting game. And we've just had great success. It's a good price point.
Yes.
Load.
Yeah.
It's just the next generation, the tipping point that the original tipping point, the bullets that we were using were good bullets, but then during the crisis period, they became unavailable to us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we changed over and went to tipping, what we call TP2, tipping point two. And as I said, I didn't realize how long the bullet has been around, the SST bullet by Hornady. It has a great, great reputation.
Oh, yeah.
And the ammunition performs, and it meets the standards that we want for accuracy, which, once
that's
again,
what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Boyd Mattson. We're talking about HSM ammunition. If you've not purchased this, shame on you. You'll love it. You'll fall in love with it. We've got to take a little bit of a break. When we come back, we're going to have Joe Falco talk about the Kansas Open Season Expo coming up. And then some more Boyds. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. My co-host is down at Lake Hills. I think he just actually wanted to go fishing. I don't think he wanted to be here with me, which I don't blame him a bit on the deal. Mark, have we got Joe Falco on the line here? Anybody say anything about getting a hold of Joe? No? Mark?
Oh, I sent you the phone number to give to Beckett.
Mark, I'm on air and I'm not looking at my phone, so.
Yeah, need to have Beckett give him a call.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we can get him on the air a little bit.
Or Joe, I think Joe's listening.
Yeah, he can call in.
Yeah.
913-3810-810, 913-3810-810, Joe, if you're out there listening on the deal. So I probably got it on my phone.
Yeah, I sent you a message yesterday with
but
his number.
Sometimes, Mark, the magic doesn't work with this phone.
Well, I understand
tell you
that.
This in the deal.
Yeah, there's nothing smart about these phones.
Do you hear any rumor real quick? I want to talk to Boyd a little bit more about HSM, but are they shock and blow the dam yet at the Missouri Department of Conservation?
It's a little early, if I remember right, it was more like toward the beginning of March, middle of March, when I went out there with them, so it's still a few weeks away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But they are starting to move up there.
Well, I tell you what, Tommy, if you would, give him that number right there and see if we can get a hold of Joe Falco and talk about the sportsmen. They should be up there, and there should be some monster. I bet there's some 10-pound walleye up and gets that dam pretty quick.
Ooh. But there's more than just that.
Yeah, and you've been there.
12 to 15-pound fish.
Yeah.
And a lot of them.
Okay. Well, we got Joe on the line, don't we? Joe, you there?
Yes, I am, Fred.
Sorry about the miscommunications, but my text sometimes comes through and sometimes it does not. So I've got a Mattel phone.
And he only pays the phone bill every other month?
No, every third month.
Oh, every third month.
Fred, let me remind you, you're pretty old at 72, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm 74, so you think I know how to use these things either? Come on.
What the hey? You know.
Two-taggers.
Hey, I'm catching up with you. February 28th, I'll be 73, and I expect a card from you.
Well, better yet, I'll buy you a McDonald's breakfast. $30.
As long as there's no fish involved. I don't eat fish at breakfast.
You should try it.
I'll get Mark a fish sandwich. Don't worry about it.
A fish fry and a pie.
I got three things, so if I could kind of go over them in order real quick,
sure.
I'll let you guys get back to the important stuff. So first of all, we're getting customers in. We have an open house this weekend, okay? Got some great, great deals on all of our boats, but specifically, I think most of your listeners are interested in either pontoons or Lund boats, and I mean, let me tell everybody what's going on out there. Business is dropping off, and these boat manufacturers are aggressive. They want us to take more boats, and we want to take less boats, so we're working together to get some great, great deals on boats. So there's great deals to be had, period. You got to get there fast, because what's going to happen is it's going to warm up, and all of a sudden everybody's going to say, wow, the economy's great, and we're out of boats. Well, they're not going to be any available. So let's get that. Let make sure everybody knows we have an open house today. And what's going on today, it's going to confuse a lot of people. There's a boat show right down the street from you there in Overland Park, and it's a great show. It's a great show. It's a boat show. I won't be there. Nobody from Kansas City will be there, and there will be no fishing boats there. It is the Lake of the Ozark show. So
sure.
They shouldn't kind of tell people it's a Kansas City show, because it's really not. So, but if you're looking for a very expensive boat, a great boat, and, you know, drink some wine and all that kind of stuff, that it's a great show. If not, come to our place today. We got great deals. Okay, that's number one. Number two that I want to talk about is, a lot of people don't know about it, is next weekend, and is the Topeka RV and Boat Show. So we're trying to bring back some sort of semblance of our show that we've lost, Fred, over the years. You know, we just lost our show. That's all there is to it. So next weekend, and Fred, this one's suited for you. You know why?
What's that?
Tickets are $8.
That's me. I'm
in. That's you. You're in. Yeah. Okay, there you go. So Topeka is a nice show. It's a real nice show. You might check it out. I'm not going to give anybody any information. They can look themselves. So the final thing I want to talk about, again, I don't want to, you know, waste everybody's time, but is that on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, and you're right, we do have what we have left of a sports show. It's a great show to come out and see some unbelievable deer heads. We have a deer head competition and all that, you know, sort of stuff. Got a couple boats there, got some tackle there, got some, you know, it's a small show, but it's all we have left. So please, guys, come out and support the great outdoors. Just come out and support it. And this is what we have left right now, and we got to keep it alive. We got to keep it alive. So you can get all the details on that, and that's pretty much what I have for you today.
Okay,
Fred.
Now
I mean, that's what's important in my life.
Oh, I'm supposed to be on stage with you on a certain date.
Yeah, that'll be. Yeah, I forgot to invite you, by the way.
Yeah,
but
that's all right.
Yeah, in your flip phone, you probably can't put a calendar, but you will be on at noon on Saturday. I got you right there, nice and easy. You don't have to get up early. So
on the
noon
9th,
on Saturday.
On, 9th,
on the
9th. 9th of October, or no, October. March.
March.
9th
yeah.
of March.
And Fred, it'll be you and I, and I think we can bring any duck hunter. I think we can bring him some perspective. Obviously, you know, I've been doing it a long time like you, and we have different we have different places we hunt.
Sure.
We're both in Missouri, but you're up north. I'm down south. The way we hunt is different because, you know, how we've got our property set up. So I think we're just going to be, and you and I love talking ducks. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of give some people some ideas and maybe get some input from other people, too, on duck hunting.
Sure.
Heck, we can both learn.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get up there and lecture anybody. I'll just tell you what works for me, and I've done a lot of stupid things. I talk about what not to do duck hunting. That's all I talk about, so that'll be cool. October the 8th, 9th, and 10th, I'm on stage at noon. Love for everybody to come by and shake hands and giggle. Some of the stories we tell will be true. It'll be up to you, the listeners, to understand what's
limited right. number.
A limited number.
You got that right. Yeah.
Joe, thank you.
Mark,
for getting
are, you, Mark are you there?
Yes.
Mark? Okay, Mark. Yeah, I am. Mm-hmm. Too much ice and snow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See you later, buddy.
We got him figured out, don't we?
Hey, yeah, Fred, I think we do. So I'm going to let you guys get back to the real
okay.
good stuff. Thanks for
Here
having me on, man.
I'm kind of amped up about that. It'd be kind of funny to just stand around and talk about duck hunting with somebody.
Doesn't, 3 weeks from,
yep.
from
I love
today.
It. Yep.
Doesn't that cut into your Saturday nap time, though,
yes,
Fred?
It does, but we'll make exception to
oh,
that.
Okay. I was wondering.
You get old, you want a nap every once in a while.
Especially when you get me up at this time of the day.
Ah, it's good to know you. Get your adrenaline rush
Time to
up.
Go to the barn and milk the cows.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I ever got up at this time when I was younger.
What the hey. We're brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. For you guys need an outbuilding, which who doesn't? They will build it for you. They'll do it professionally. They are the best. KingCityLumber.com. Go to their website. You'll be there for about 20, 30 minutes on the darn thing. Please come join us again March 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Kansas Open. I'm giggly. I want to do this so darn bad on the deal. I'm going to have Mark on the stage with me, and every time I point at him, he's got a quack. That's all he's got to do. I think that'll work.
I think that'll work.
I'll hit the call and my point mark will hit a quack, quack. You don't have to act enthused even, Mark. You can just.
Well, I can do that.
Okay. All right.
Just
All right.
be yourself, Mark.
Just be yourself.
That's right.
That's right. You know. Oh, well. Boyd Metz is in the studio here, and we're talking about HSM ammunition. Tommy is in here with us. He's been awful quiet this morning. Is there a reason why? Is he mad or is he upset? Or
He doesn't like you, Fred.
He don't like me.
No.
Well, I started off by asking if he was sexually active, and I think I just really threw him off the track early this morning. And he was just pointed at me in disgust and went up the hall and got him a cup of coffee.
Yeah, so. Sometimes reality's confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm worried about the boy. You know, I really, really am on the deal. So,
Hey, handgun ammunition.
We need to talk about that, too.
We're pretty excited about our cowboy loads and our bear loads. Now, you ask, what's the difference? The cowboy loads are kind of normal loads for the guy to shoot, wants to go out and practice. We're always harping, and in order to be good, you have to practice.
Practice.
Excuse me. But our cowboy ammunition, we have a full listing, and our bear load is a handful. It's designed, and the bullets we manufacture are designed for somebody that wants to shoot a bear.
Ooh.
And the guides in Alaska and up north, it's big product sale.
I'll bet.
But here on our continent, it's a good deer load. And for anybody that hunts in a state that requires what is known as a straight-walled cartridge, the .45-70 is just an outstanding round. It's one of the oldest rounds. It's been here forever, since back in the Civil War days.
Sure.
Right prior to the Civil War, it was developed, and it's continued with various configurations and lever-action guns. Lever-action guns, they're a big item. Ruger acquired Marlin. They're building it. It's an outstanding product. The 94 Winchesters, Henry Repeating Arms makes lever-action guns, and lever guns have become just a giant part of the firearms marketplace.
Sure.
And go back to the cowboy days, the 73 Winchester, the 86 Winchester, these are lever guns. The calibers that we make will match up rifles and handguns. 357 Magnum, 38 Special, interchangeable. We make that ammunition in both configurations, the bear loads and in the cowboy loads. And they work for your revolver, and they work for your lever-action rifle.
Cool.
So it's something that gets you outdoors, gets you practicing, gets you shooting. And along those lines, guys, varmint season's just around the corner.
It's here.
It's here. I mean, you know, the city-dwelling coyotes.
Yep.
Ooh, occasionally them. Come to the country,
yes,
if
do.
You call them.
Yeah.
And but the little creatures, prairie dogs, the scourge, they may look cute, but if you know a rancher or a landowner, he despises them. And it's difficult for them to poison them anymore. So if you stop and see prairie dogs, go to the landowner, get his permission, and he'd love to be rid of them.
Who wouldn't? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they don't. They eat the roots out of the grass.
Oh, yeah.
And they just they turn it into just a plain desert. So practice. It'll carry over into the deer hunting season. But prairie dog shooting, it's fun.
Oh, it's addictive.
And it's something where you don't sit and wait.
Yeah.
You might see a deer or something. But if you get into a prairie dog town,
you
there's
shoot,
hundreds.
And shoot a lot of ammunition.
Shoot a lot of ammunition and just enhance your shooting skills tremendously.
Prairie dog, I always say, you shoot one, four come to his funeral.
Absolutely.
And you get to whack him, too. You know,
that's very true.
But unbelievable.
They're fun. They're fun to shoot and enhance your shooting skills.
Boyd, I hate to bring this up, but I'm going to have to.
Go ahead.
You're older than Methuselah, you know.
I am a few years older than you, Fred.
Yes, everybody. You're a lot. I mean, never mind. Go ahead. I'm not going to go there. When I brought up the word 218B rifle, and I can't put this behind me for some reason. I don't know why. And every time I pick up this document here with a 218B in it, I don't think anybody in the world's got one. You're the only person left in the world's got one, don't you? I mean, I asked you off the air, do you know anybody else has a 218B? And you went, no.
It's the grown-up brother of a .22 Hornet, which is you know what a 22 Hornet is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different case. It's design case. Instead of having a straight tapered case, it's a shouldered case, the 218B. And it was just an upscale. I think the guns, they're 43 Winchesters. And I don't know off the top of my head what other guns used it, but the one that I have two of them, are 43 Winchesters. And it was just an upscale 22 Hornet. Good for longer range.
50-grain bullet.
Well, yeah, but the bullets, they're 50-grainers, but the ones that really worked well were the, you know, the 42s, a little lighter bullet. You get decent velocity out of it, and the accuracy was good. I think the rifles were made from 49 to 61, and I'm not absolutely sure out there, listeners. Somebody can check that.
Yeah.
But 218B is just an interesting little caliber. I shot turkey with it. I shot a lot of...
You can shoot turkeys in Pennsylvania with a rifle.
Yes, sir. That's you can.
Yeah.
You can.
That's where you're from.
Rifle or shotgun, and that's your option. But a lot of woodchucks, we called them groundhogs, right, in Pennsylvania. And just a great performing little caliber.
What about that one they hold up every year and see if there's six more weeks of winter? Do you ever take a shot at him? Or
Punxsutawney Phil? No, Phil.
They tell me that all that is an excuse to go get drunk, but I don't know if it's true or not.
There may be a few beverages consumed at that, you know, and Phil's not one of the consumers of beverages.
Yeah.
Someone said that Phil had a mate, and she passed away recently, and I don't know if it was before or after, and I don't know if she wore a wedding band or anything
that
or not.
I see where they're wanting to do away with him. They want to use a rock instead.
Yeah. But it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of people.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's kind of bizarre, but most people out of Pennsylvania I've ever known are kind of bizarre.
Yeah, we are.
They're a strange lot out there. Yep. You know, Quakers, we call them Quakers, but they're Quakers.
Yeah.
And no Hooterites, is there? No.
And we have some interesting towns there, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Yeah. some of them are just, you know, beyond belief, and a lot of those are in the Amish areas of the state. But
so you're not Amish, is that what you're telling
no,
me?
Sir. No, okay. Sir. Pennsylvania, little Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah. Okay, now here's something I've been wanting to talk to you. I almost called you the other night. I'm addicted to this because I can't do it. I'm shooting at 1,000 yards.
And okay.
First thing is, and you won the rifle competition, many years ago, but you won.
89, and that was with a small bore rifle, so that's 50 yards and 100 yards shooting with a rimfire rifle.
So, but it all relates to shooting a rifle.
Right.
But I shouldn't tell this. Shot at 1,000 yards, never hit a 4x8 piece of plywood.
Well...
I'm embarrassed about it.
Well, you shouldn't be embarrassed because, first of all, the rifle has to be zeroed to do it.
Yeah.
And you can use the smaller caliber rifle. Some people do. But the basic 308, when I shot 1,000 yards, I shot a 30-06 rifle and shot a bolt gun, Model 70 Winchester. And if you're doing it, you need a spotter. If you're not on the paper, on the target, you need a spotter. And actually, a good spotter with a good pair of 12, 15 power binoculars or a 20 to 30 power spotting scope can see the bullet. He can actually track the bullet. And I had that a couple times. If you want to zero the rifle, the guy would say, you know, you're 6 inches here or you're 2 feet here. And
I think if I could have saw my bullet hit, I might be able to walk it in.
That's right.
But I couldn't. It was going into the snow. But I never did see any snow fly up on this thing. And the wind was howling. But, I mean, I give all excuses on the world. But I think it's just bad eyes and a bad shot is me. But how in the world? What do you do? I mean, how do you build a 1,000-yard gun? I mean, where do you start at?
Well, the factory guns are all right. I mean, a varmint weight barreled 308 rifle is adequate to shoot. I mean... You know, competition-wise, it probably lacks some, but it's a pretty. I shot an out of the box. Now it's a target rifle, Winchester Model 70, But out of the box, the rifle would shoot. And I did use hand loads at the time. I was loading my own ammunition. But I was, the target at 1,000 yards is now the X-ring is 10 inches. Mm-hmm. And the tendring is 20 inches. And a couple of times I shot on it, I never shot a perfect score, but I had a couple of almost perfect scores on that target. Not all X's, but all 10s. On the original target that they used to use, it was a 10-inch, I believe, no, 20. It was a 20-inch 5-ring, and then a 30 or 36-inch, or V. They used to be Vs instead of Xs. I'm a little confused. A senior citizen moment here. But that on that, I shot a number of perfect scores. So it was pretty consistently easy to keep 20 rounds in a 20-inch circle at 1,000 yards.
What kind of scope? What's going on here? I don't understand it.
I used some Lyman Super Target Spot scopes, the long, lengthy. But I found that the Leopold scopes, I shot 20-power Leopolds with a dot in them. And
with a dot in them?
Yeah, I like dot scopes.
Really?
I shoot a lot the... When I shot the small bore,
would cover up the doesn't it cover up the target?
No. Quarter minute dot. So you can.
I've never shot a dot scope.
Well, at 100 yards, a quarter minute dot covers the whole a 22 hole. So it's one of those deals where you use the bullet hole as a guide and shading. And that's when you move the scope, rather than adjusting in the knobs, you hold off.
On purpose.
On purpose, called shading. You know, whether it's elevation, if the wind's coming, you know, the wind, geez, we're getting really technical here. But you have full value wind, which is wind coming from left to right or right to left. That's the maximum full value. Then you have half value wind, and that's when the wind's coming from behind you or blowing at you. Then you have quarter value wind, which is between the half and full. So it's a game. It's a shooting game.
You need
a spotter, Fred. That's the bottom line.
I don't think I can do it. One is I had a hell of a time finding a place to shoot 1,000 yards straight up.
Yeah, there's some ranges around.
Yeah,
Kansas
there's some around.
Too.
But, boy, it's got me buffaloed. I mean, it's bothered me like crazy. I'm going to go shoot this afternoon.
Well, imagine the guys that are shooting at 2,500 yards.
Yes. And I read about
it. Yeah.
And, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a big time skill level.
Yeah.
And were you shooting off a bench or prone?
No, just shooting over the pickup truck. But
yeah.
And that's another thing with the wind blowing a little bit. I always looking for a cop out, you know, and the wind was blowing, but it was still, golly, it was embarrassing. You know, 1,000 yards is a long ways.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I drove away 500-600 yards around and put my rangefinder on it, and I went, it's got to be 1,000 yards. It was 600 yards. So I went 800 yards. Got to be. And it was embarrassing. And I'm glad no one was there.
Practice and a spotter.
Yeah, I need Tommy.
And maybe some good HSM ammunition.
Can I get Tommy to be my spotter?
I don't know. You got to get him a warm day because he's always in that Speedo.
You think? Yeah, that's true. It's kind of embarrassing, too. Now, are we out of time? You don't love us anymore. My producer is going, I hate you guys, and you guys are not a good show, and we don't like you here, and all the above. Is that true?
Not at all. I love you guys.
Hey, thanks for having us on. We appreciate it. HSM appreciates it.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
And,
I'll be straight up with you. If it wasn't a good product, you wouldn't be here.
Thank you.
And I just lay it online. That's just exactly as I can say it. And that product takes a backseat to nobody. And I'm telling you.
Only for you do I get up at 5 a.m.
Well,
Fred.
I know it. But, golly, that's such a – I don't do it. We don't do it justice.
No,
people don't understand it.
You have to shoot it.
You have to shoot it and shoot it and shoot it. And then you finally go, wow, this is a great – not a good product. This is a great product.
Yeah, and you don't have to spend the time in the basement reloading anymore. You can just go into the store and buy a box.
You know, and you're out there hunting. You're going to kill something. kill it as lethally as you possibly can, get it down, be over with, shoot through the heart and lungs and be done with the darn thing, and don't make them suffer.
Right.
And as simple as it gets on the thing, and that's what I want is accuracy, and that's what that load gives me.
Yes, sir.
So that's simple.
Thank
as
you.
Gets. Well, that's a wonderful product. Yeah. Tommy, put your clothes back on and head out. Of course, it's cold outside. Tell you what, Mark, thank you.
All right. Hey, make sure to get out to Sportsman's Outfitters today
for
their open house.
That'll be fun.
Great time to make a deal on a new boat.
I'm going to have to make Joe buy me lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got no money, though. He always reaches for his pockets, never there.
Alligator arms.
Alligator arms, my goodness. I've been around Joe Falco too long. Okay, Mark, you're off duty. Go catch a fish.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. We got to go for this week. The next time we see you, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.